Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today in the studio, we have with us Asmi and Cameron from the Cloud House. Guys, glad you could join us today.
Man, thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. So these guys have a smoke shop right down the way from our studio. And we decided one day, just on happenstance, to just kind of walk down there and check it out, and met these guys. And we said, you know, hey, we need to bring them in and we need to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that they've got going on in their smoke shop.
Well, it wasn't really happenstance. It's more the fact you were being nosy and you told me to drive around the block three times to see what was going on.
Well, yeah, that's because we were recording that night and they have all these bright lights outside.
We're not used to bright lights.
And I'm like, well, wait a second, it's not Christmas.
Yeah.
They have all these Christmas lights outside and they decorate the outside of their shop better than I do my house at Christmas time. Yeah. And I was a little bit jealous.
Yeah, and normally the only entertainment we have down this strip is that, like, daily between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, the people who work next door basically choke to death on their dinner. And it's like every day without fail.
That's true.
Yeah, it sounds like we need to take in respirators. So well, that's the best entertainment we've had until the Cloud House came along.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure Doc Holliday is next door.
Yeah. So, Asmi, Cameron, tell us a bit about yourselves, background, where you grew up, where you went to school, and, you know, how did you get into this?
So we always, me and him, we grew up in here in Texas. And I moved to Arlington. I mean, I'm just going to say how we met pretty much. I just went to school before I was a young kid. I grew up in Alvarado. Then we moved to Arlington and I met him in seventh grade football. And, you know, after that, we kind of just became best friends. And then we, you know, we got older. We grew up in Arlington. And in 2017, my dad is a businessman also. He opened convenience stores. And he was in the convenience store lifestyle, but he was wondering what new things you could get into. And I told him, I was like, you know, I've seen smoke shops. We got to get into to opening smoke shops. You know, it wasn't saturated yet. The market, there wasn't very many smoke shops. There was a few that were here and there, people who opened it early on and stuff like that. But I was like, we got to just open a smoke shop. So, you know, I finally convinced him and he opened a smoke shop, and using that smoke shop, I learned everything I could about smoke shops. I learned the licensing, where the distributors are, where everything was, you know, as I pretty much ran that place for a while and I used it as a learning experience. And then after that, I decided to go and do my own thing. And he also came with me and really, it just went from there. After you open your first smoke shop, every other smoke shop after that's easy. It's just licensing and being able to get the products. We opened one in Bedford, but they wouldn't let us get the licensing, so we had to close that one. And then we got one here in Fort Worth. That one's still going. And then we just opened the Cloud House here in, well, I guess if technically Fort Worth, also technically Keller. So, like, it's in the middle of both.
Yeah, well, we call it Fort Keller. Right. I mean, it's North Fort Worth, but it's kind of outskirts of Keller. So walk us back to the one in Bedford. I mean, you said you opened it up and then just all of a sudden you couldn't open it up anymore. I mean, walk us through that. How did that happen?
So smoke shops, you know, are always in the gray area, right? So Bedford, there's one smoke shop. They got Easy's. That's it. There is no other smoke shop. So, you know, I confused me for a while and we just thought about opening one. So we went. To even apply for the licenses, you have to have a building. But, you know, since smoke shops are still in the iffy to a lot of people, especially here in Texas, I always put, you know, amendums in there saying if we can't get the CO or we can't do this or that, that we can void the lease.
Sure.
You know, and the landlord understands, you know, usually I do have understanding landlords, especially ones that allow you to open a smoke shop. They understand all that stuff because it's like opening a bar or a liquor store. I mean, it's not as easy as every other retail store. You have a little more hoops to go through, a little more licensing to get. In Bedford, when they got a new city council, they banned letting people open smoke shops. So I didn't know that until after I got the building. technically, really, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to just, you can't allow someone to control a market in a city. So for a little while, we were trying to fight them. You know, we were going to city council meetings and we were doing this, but eventually, I mean, just the energy we were wasting and the fact that Bedford really just isn't, it's an all right place, but I mean, I didn't think it was going to be a completely booming smoke shop either. So like, it was just kind of, it just, at some point the fight wasn't really worth fighting anymore. So, you know, I backed out, just cut the lease, and I just went ahead and left because they weren't going to let me get the CO for the building.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I mean, most people probably think that, you know, hey, these guys are coming in here and they're opening this shop and they have no business sense. They're just like, oh, hey, that I'm going to throw some stuff in a shop here and try to make some money. And you could be treated basically as a neophyte, you know, that somebody doesn't know what they're doing or whatever. And then when they realize, hey, this guy actually knows what he's doing, it's probably a surprise. To be honest with you, right?
Yeah, and they think that, I guess, it's going to raise the crime rate. But, I mean, if Bedford is a small city, like 5 miles wide, there's a smoke shop right on the city border. You know what I mean? So it's not really, it really isn't hurting them. And, I mean, Bedford, we've all been to Bedford. You know, it's not really a city where opening a smoke shop would be bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? The crime rate's not high. I mean, it's not high. I mean, it's probably a medium average crime rate over in Bedford. It's nothing crazy. I don't know how they would perceive crime rate with smoke shops because they let liquor stores open over there.
Right.
Like, you got a liquor store on every corner, but you can't open a smoke shop. Yeah. So
I think that would be a very disappropriate kind of connection between crime and a smoke shop. I mean, it's not like it's a crack den or a meth house or something. You can understand that where it's on, you know, kind of black market channels. But when you've actually got a store and people go in and buy stuff just like they'd go in and to a 7-Eleven and buy maybe, you know, milk or, you know, orange juice or, you know,
Slurpee,
packet of chips or something. I mean, I just don't see that link. And I think, you know, I mean, I lived in Bedford for about 5 years close to the Bedford Boys Ranch there in an apartment complex. And, you know, it's a nice area, but, you know, that area there hasn't really changed or evolved much in maybe about 15 years. It's pretty much exactly the same. It's really a thoroughfare. You know, it's one of those places you pass through to get somewhere else.
And it's I don't understand why they put it into effect, because they opened the Easy's, I think, in 2004, right? And they stopped allowing smoke shops in 2011, but nobody even tried. Like, there was literally not a point to not allow smoke shops. It wasn't bringing bad people. I mean, you know, so where they got the connotation just kind of blows my mind. I don't know if Ulis, since it's kind of their sister city, had said something about it and they just agreed, because I don't think you can open smoke shops in Ulis either.
Well, but I've never tried. Is it Hearst, Ulis, Bedford? I mean, there's a trifecta of mediocrity.
I've lived here my whole life and I still don't know where Hearst, Ulis, and Bedford are all the same. To me, that's one city.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably. They're just so small. I mean, you could probably drive through all three of them in 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I think there's actually one road which does actually pass through all three.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not really even that long.
And I know what road you're talking about. Yeah. Is it precinct? Is it precinct line?
Right. Yeah, precinct line. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, how do you, when you're starting up, kind of advertise where you're at? Because there's been so many smoke shops and CBD oil, you know, stores kind of opening up in the last 3-4 years. How do you kind of promote yourself and let people know, hey, we're here?
Man, honestly, I don't. I mean, really, I put the sign up and I put the lights and, you know, the light. I mean, that's why my lights are so bright, right? I don't, you know, you see Easy's, they got, you know, most of them got the simple 3 LED lights, but, you know, I get the ones that change colors and they flash and all that kind of stuff. But that's the point, right? If people smoke, they'll notice the place and they'll come. You know, I wanted to put a sign on the road, but the landlord wouldn't let me, so I couldn't do that. And there's not really my, I mean, I could advertise. Sometimes maybe I did one time, I'll go to the post office and I'll get little banners made and pay to have them put in mailboxes. But really the best way and the only way that's always been successful is you just move into a place where, I mean, everybody smokes. So, I mean, they see the place, they'll automatically come check it out. They like the people, they like the prices, and they'll keep coming back. There really is no advertising that you can do much for a smoke shop. All you got to do is let people know you're there and they'll come. And pretty much it's, like you said, it's just word of mouth, people start to travel, and it's all about, also I know smoke shops are a lot based on reviews, which is why we try to have the best customer service and the best prices and everything like that, is that we want to keep it a friendly environment. You know, we're trying to put couches in there soon too, so that we can, you know, like make it a little chill spot, but you know, we're trying to see what happens with COVID regulations. We don't want it to get worse and go back. But I mean, with everything, it looks like we're going in a very positive direction on that topic. So it looks like, I don't think they'll be decreasing the volume size again, because at some point I was only allowed to allow 5 people in my other smoke shop at a time, you know. So I don't think, hopefully it won't go back to that, but I want to prepare. I don't want to spend too much money and it go back to that, you know what yeah. I mean?
Actually, well, about
so you talk about, you know, that welcoming atmosphere, right? I mean, it's the word of mouth, it's the welcoming atmosphere. So how do you vet a employee? You know, so most people are thinking, oh, okay, the employees in some of these places, you know, they're just potheads or whatever. You know, that's the only people that want to work here. And obviously to you, that's very important when somebody walks in your shop, that they're treated good, that all that. So how do you go through the employee vetting process of figuring out who you want to represent your shop?
So the thing you'll see with me when you're close by, so you'll notice it, is I always have long lasting employees. I do not go through employees like most other smoke shops do. You know, a lot of other smoke shops, you'll walk in one day and the next day they'll be gone. And the next day they'll be gone. A lot of smoke shops are like that. No, With me, I usually, for the first couple of days, it's not training, but I'll sit there and watch them. You know what I mean? I'll see how their attitude is, how they talk to people, how they talk to customers, all that kind of stuff. And I also pay very well. I pay higher than every other smoke shop I've heard. So I pay very well, so it usually tends with higher pay. You get a little bit of better people, and usually they can last at the job longer. And I mean, it's a smoke shop job, so they're getting good pay. And they the only thing they got to do is sell smoke shop stuff to customers. I mean, it's a pretty easy job. There's not really much to worry about, and so I have them just focus on their customer service mainly. So the job title is pretty much just customer service. You know what I mean? The hardest thing about that job is customer service. Cause I know a lot of people, I like to get people who are new to the field, like new to selling and new to be in the retail market. Cause it's easier to train them to have good qualities, you know? Cause if you work in a place where you don't got to try for a super long time and you get just terrible people and you got terrible pay and you always have a bad attitude, it's going to give you bad habits. And I mean, that's just how it is. So I like getting new people, you know, like people who haven't worked in retail before, so that I can help train them and help promote good habits and help them promote, you know, like when customers walk in, automatically have a smile on your face.
Yeah.
That's always how it is. I mean, when you walked in the first time, if I was there, you know, you saw me, the first thing I did was smile. And those are the habits I like. You know, if you get somebody who had a bad retail experience and worked for somebody they didn't like and had a bad attitude all the time, you know, you walk in, they're not going to have the habit of smiling. You know what I mean? They're going to have the habit of just, you know, being, what can I do for you today? Yeah. How may I help you? You know, sounding like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, the first time we came into the store, there was a girl there. I don't know her name, but I mean, she was real nice. She was real helpful, explained all the products. And then the second time when I came back to get your information, the guy who was working there, he was real cool and stuff. I mean, it was, you know, good experience going into the store for sure. You know, now most people, when you talk about a smoke shop, don't really understand the kind of range of products, because I don't smoke and I never have, but there are still products in your store which I would purchase which don't really have anything to do with smoking. And so can you just explain to the listeners the kind of range of products you have? And it's not just about smoke-based products or vape-based products. You carry a wide range of stuff. Can you just run through the type of stuff you have?
Yeah, so in Texas, I just want to inform everybody that this is tobacco use only, you know, everything I'm going to explain here, but we got everything, right? So we got you walk in and you're going to see the containers, right? We got all the stash containers. You can store your stuff in it. And we got the secret ones. We got the glass jars. We got all kinds of different ones that you'll like. And then of course we got grinders. Everybody needs grinders. We got pipes, you know, we got water pipes, we got concentrate pipes, we got electric concentrate pipes, we got vapes, we got disposable vapes, we got hookahs, we got hookah tobacco, hookah coals, hookah burners. You know, we kind of just have anything that produces smoke, we carry it. You know what I mean? Anything that you would have accessory wise, we carry it. And the cool thing about our shop is, since I'm there, it's not a franchise, you know what I mean? I'm there constantly. I'm talking to my employees constantly. You know what I mean? I can get what people specifically ask for. So if they're like, oh, I'm a regular, but I buy this from this smoke shop for this price. If you could give this same product here for the round the same price, I'll start coming here because I like y'all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can do that, and a lot of smoke shops can't do that. And that's one of the biggest things I think brought a lot of people for my last smoke shop is that I did that. I people would come in, and every week I'd have a different list. You know, people would write down what they want, and I'd go to the distributor, and I'd be like, hey, I need all this stuff. And they'd give it to me. And, you know, they'd come back and they'd surprise that I actually got what they wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just got off the phone with somebody when I was walking in here, and they want cigarette tobacco. You know, he said he's been looking everywhere and he can't find cigarette tobacco. He's called so many different smoke shops and nobody's carrying cigarette tobacco. So I said, you live close by? You know, because he called my smoke shop that's farther from here. And he was like, yeah, I live right in the middle. And I was like, okay, I'll start carrying your cigarette tobacco here. Every week we'll have it. So you come by, it'll be restocked the next week you come.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he was really excited about that. And he kept asking, you know, he was trying to find something now. So I gave him suggestions, and I looked up shops for him, and I said, here, you could try this place and this place and this place, because he's trying to find cigarette tobacco, and everybody keeps carrying pipe tobacco, which isn't what he was looking for, you know? So I think the bringing in that the products are really whatever you need.
Yeah,
right. In that kind of feel.
So I'm curious. Was it by any chance Drum tobacco, Halls Wear Shag?
I'm pretty sure Drum is what he was looking for.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But that was the good stuff. Wait, back
and they still
in my younger
and they
days,
still make it fresh. The company is still going, and they're going strong. I mean, a lot of tobacco. And one big thing I forgot to mention: we do also carry all different types of Delta 8. So we got Delta 8 disposables, Delta 8 flower. We got Delta 8 shatter. We got Delta 8 edibles, and all reputable companies, and they're all pretty big companies. So we do have all that in the store too.
Yeah, I remember way back in the day, I used to smoke Drum tobacco, and when you bought a pack of Drum tobacco, you got a pack of Drum papers with that. And if you saved a certain amount of those, you could send them off, and then Drum would send you this leather pouch to pour everything in that had like a little disc that you poured, what was it, the distilled water, whatever, to keep everything fresh. And I had that, and I smoked that for years. I mean, I love Drum tobacco, so good to hear that.
So Cameron, obviously, as we went through the wide range of products you have in the store,
mm-hmm.
and from personal experience, when I've gone into smoke shops before, you know, looking for CBD oil, a lot of the range of products hasn't been huge. I've felt sometimes like I've been shopping in a phone booth. You know, there's really not that much. But you guys have a lot of stuff and a wide product range. But what, you know, out of all the products you have in there is probably, I don't know, your best-selling product.
Yeah, Delta 8 is definitely our best-selling product. I mean, we have people come in there and already know, like, what they want. I want Delta 8. And they'll go straight to that section. We've got a lot of different things. We got the one of our top sellers are going to be like the disposables. A lot of people like the disposables because you can take it on the go and hit whenever you want, anywhere you want. And the edibles too. Everybody loves the edibles. We got this new brand called Moonwalker. Am I right? Is Moonwalker? We got Moonwalker. They reached out to us. They're a pretty big brand. I've got Woken Smoke, which is he reached us at another one of our smoke shops and, you know, told us about him. And he's actually a pretty big brand too. We looked him up. So, I mean, we got some pretty good
brands. Can you kind of describe more for people that don't know what a disposable is?
Okay, so disposable, just like how you hit, I'm sure a lot of people know about the Juuls or, you know, the puff bars and stuff like that.
Never heard of the Juul.
As he's hitting one. yeah, so they're... It's just little pods that really you don't have to refill them, so you don't have to deal with the mess or anything like that. It's just a little small vape, so you don't have to refill them or anything. You just quickly use them, get a quick... So they have different variety of puffs, like one got 300, 400. One goes up to, I think, like 2,000. And once you're done with that, you just throw it away and you buy a new one.
So, oh, okay.
So you don't have to get juice and keep refilling it, the whole mess.
So very good for lazy people like
me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what's the difference in effects in taking Deltrate in different formats, say taking it in, you know, vaping it or taking it as edibles? What's the difference in terms of effects, in terms of how long it lasts or perhaps?
Well, it just depends. I mean, each one has different milligrams, and that's the stronger dose. So, I mean, you've got the disposables, which they hit real hard, but they're not going to hit as hard as the shatter that we have, because the shatter you use from actual water pipe, you know, and it goes straight in the back of your lungs. You don't have to vape it.
Yeah, like the shatter is going to be like the pure concentrate of Delta 8. And, you know, they have to edit it a little bit to fit it in a cartridge, you know what I mean? So it does get a little bit weaker when you put it in a cartridge because it's not pure concentrate. Because if you took pure concentrate, it's very thick. You wouldn't be able to vape pure concentrate like that. It has to be heated up at a very high degree. And so that's why the shatter would be a little bit stronger. So the Delta 8 would last about an hour and a half in disposable or shatter form. And then if you go to the edibles, based on your tolerance on those, it can last anywhere between 4 to 7 hours. It just depends on the milligrams you've used. 25 is the average for someone who's never done edibles before. Most mediocre daily smokers would get about 50 to 75 milligrams, which is decently high. But that would last about 5 hours. And one thing I have noticed with Delta 8, it takes longer for you to feel it. So if you looked at Delta 9 would take, you know, usually takes around an hour. But everyone I've seen use Delta 8, it takes around 2 hours to kick in, but then it lasts about 5 hours.
Yeah, I bought some Delta 8 edibles from your store, and it took probably about an hour and a half before it to kick in. But it also lasted for about 6 hours. And I made the mistake the first time of taking it about 9 o'clock at night. And I had the craziest lucid dreams.
That is a side effect of Delta 8. Yeah.
So can you explain to everybody the difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9?
Delta 9 is going to be the pure form of marijuana, untouched. You know, it's what happens when you burn it and you smoke it through a pipe. It's cut from the flower, you put it in a pipe, you burn it, bam, Delta 9. It's your Delta 9 THC. That's the most common form. It's what everybody has. Now, Delta 8 THC it gets a little tricky, right? So each plant technically only has about 1% Delta 8. So you're like 1% Delta 8. How in the world is there so much Delta 8 if each plant is only 1%? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. What they do gets a little tricky. This is the scientific part that kicks in, right? It's altered slightly, right? They take CBD salt, like powder. They turn the plant into CBD. They take the CBD powder and they put it in a solvent that gets rid of the CBD, and what you have left is Delta 8. And then they take the Delta 8 out and they let it dry. They get rid of the solvent, and then bam, you got pure Delta 8 concentrate there. So that's how Delta 8's made. Really, the only difference is Delta 8 is indica based. You can't. It's gonna make you sleepy. It's not gonna make you, you know, wake up like you can get in Delta 9. You can get sativa, which, you know, some of them, they help you concentrate, help you wake up, help you do that. There's no Delta 8 like that. They can say sativa, but when they say sativa, it's usually about the flavor. They're copying a flavor of a sativa herb. It's not an actual sativa. Understand what I'm saying?
No, so explain sativa versus indica for people that don't know.
So you're talking about something roughly like kratom or something like that?
It's going to be similar to kratom, but back in the old days, we're talking about the 80s, they had corn. You know, everybody had corn back then. It was all, you know, marijuana is marijuana. There's no this marijuana, this marijuana, this marijuana. You know, and then slowly they grew up, like they grew older and the plant, you know, people started to realize that you can edit this, that not every single marijuana is the same. You know, there's certain properties certain marijuanas have that other marijuanas don't, you know, and over time, they learned how to test these things, and they found out that there's a certain strain of marijuana that can make you super tired and couch locked, and they found that there's another strain of marijuana that can, you know, it doesn't affect your it doesn't make you tired. You're not going to want to sit there on the couch and watch TV and eat a bag of chips. You know, you're going to want to do your normal daily stuff, and you know you still feel it. You know what I mean? And so basically that's pretty much it. Just the type of plant it is. You know what I mean? It's just they have different, you know, I'm trying to find something to compare it to, kind of how, you know, you got how light beer and dark beer affects people differently, kind of. I mean, that's probably going to be really similar to it.
Sure. I read an article, honestly, that said something about Delta 8 versus Delta 9. And it was like, okay, well, you can get drunk on beer or you can get drunk on vodka. And so you can drink the same amount of vodka or beer, and if you drink that same amount of vodka, you're going to get more drunk. And it was all about, I guess you're talking about the milligrams, right?
Yeah, but so, I that article, I have heard, it's a gray area when it comes to the strength of Delta 8 versus Delta 9, okay? Because I don't see that big of a difference. I mean, beer and vodka, we're talking about a significant alcohol percentage difference. So if you compare it like that, then that's a pretty big difference. But if we went, you know, maybe like an 8% IPA versus a 4%, 5% regular beer, that'd be a better comparison if I had to make a comparison.
Yeah. And I was reading a multiple of articles about Delta 8, and it said probably the most accurate ratio in terms of milligrams is 4 to 1, that if you had, you know, 12.5 milligrams of Delta 9, then you're going to need 50 milligrams of, you know, Delta 8 to have the same effect. But again, you know, with Delta 9, there are other things in terms of, you know, some people experience paranoia, they experience various other things like the jitters, whereas Delta 8 is more of a common, you know, effect on a lot of people. But it does have that kind of sleepy factor. Now, for me, Delta 8 didn't make me feel sleepy, but when I wanted to fall asleep, it made me fall asleep within like 2 minutes. I mean, I was gone, and I would sleep for like 10 hours.
Yeah, from the people that I've tested the differences, they haven't been able to notice it like that.
Yeah.
To them, it lasts just as long. It feels the same. And I mean, if you were smoking an indica, I would compare an indica to Delta 8 almost perfectly. You know what I mean? They both make you feel tired. They both make you feel a lot, you know, honestly though, with Delta 8, a lot of the people that I've seen smoke it get hungrier with Delta 8. Like the munchies hit them a little bit harder with Delta 8 than they do with Delta 9. So I don't know if that's something we're about to discover or what, because I've seen 4 people where Delta 9 didn't affect them like that. They did some Delta 8, and they were over there eating more than they've ever eaten in their life. You know what I mean?
Well, when I had the gummies for Delta 8, I mean, I think I ate a pizza and a half in one night. It definitely gives you the munchies to the extreme. And I actually got out of bed when I woke up to go to the bathroom, to go to the, you know, go pee. I was kind of like, may as well eat something while I'm up. So I went downstairs and made another half pizza. So.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So on that note, why is Delta 8 legal if you have a certain number of milligrams can have the same effect as Delta 9 when you have in Colorado, where Delta 9 is legal, Delta 8 is illegal?
Okay, Texas is a big follow federal state. You know what I mean? If something's federal, Texas is like, if United States banned it, I have to ban it. You know what I mean? So Texas, I doubt, would ever even become legal in Delta 9 unless federally it became illegal. And federally, Delta 9 is illegal. Federally, Delta 8 is not illegal. You know what I mean? So this isn't spice. It's not K2. It's not something synthetic made in a lab. It's real. It comes from the plant. It's extracted. It is chemically converted into Delta 8, yes, but it's not made from scratch. You know what I mean? It's not something that can cause you psychosis. There is not going to be any negative side effects from pure Delta 8. You know what I mean? It's straight from the plant, you know? So I doubt that they're going to ever make Delta 8 illegal, because not only would that be a step backwards, is there's no cause for it. You know what I mean? If Texas would follow somebody if somebody else did it first, and I don't see anybody else making Delta 8 illegal. I only see us going in the direction of making Delta 9 legal. But again, Texas is a big federal state. We're very patriotic to the country of America. So Texas, the only reason Texas hasn't made it legal yet is because federally, Delta 9 is illegal. The day the federal government decides Delta 9 isn't illegal anymore, Texas will follow and be like, okay, it's not illegal. That is the only reason Delta 9 is still legal.
So what about in the states, again, like Colorado? There's been, you know, talk about that just because Delta 8 doesn't have the same regulation as Delta 9 has, that's why it's not legal in those states, because there are actually two or three states where Delta 9 is legal, where Delta 8 is illegal, and they, you know, constantly quote, it's about the regulation that, you know, there hasn't been state regulation, there hasn't been time, there hasn't been a body, because you have to remember with marijuana, there's been decades of study. Delta 8's kind of hit somebody, blindsided a lot of people, and there really hasn't been those long-term studies.
I think the thing with the states where it's legal, you have to specific on regulations, right? So they went specific with the marijuana plant in those legal states. So it was easier for them to make it illegal already, right? It was easy to do that because they already had regulations on the plant itself. In Texas, they only got, the only thing they do is Delta 9 is illegal. There's no regulations. Now, the biggest thing I see in those states is not about the regulation of Delta 8. It's about the fact that they charge a 30% tax, 35% tax on Delta 9, and they think people are going to start using Delta 8 as a loophole.
Right. That's what the Shep and I were actually discussing earlier today, right, about how these states can make money out of it. And if there isn't this way they can make immediate money out of it, then they kind of try and find barriers.
So now we've thrown all these numbers out, right? We got Delta 8, we got Delta 9.
So we've thrown out two numbers, basically, then.
Yeah, lots of numbers.
Yeah.
And now we're going to
Let's count up one further.
Yeah.
What comes after 9?
17?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
I don't know.
10. What's Delta 10?
10.
Is there a Delta 10?
So there is a Delta 10.
That's Delta 10.
And that's even newer than the Delta 8. So what is Delta 10?
Okay, Delta 10 is going to be the sativa version of Delta 8. So they're going to take Delta 9. You know, Delta 8, like I said, makes you tired, makes you sleepy. It's indica based. It is 100% indica based. You'll never find a Delta 8 that's true sativa like that. So that has sativa qualities. Because, like I said, on the packaging, when they label sativa, they're basing it off the flavor that they're mimicking with the Delta 8. Okay, they're not calling it a sativa. There's no way it can be a sativa, right? It's the qualities that Delta 8 has is to make you tired, make you hungry. That's, everything has its qualities. You know, Delta 10, they're focusing on more making sativa based, you know, chemically making it sativa based, you know, where you can do your daily stuff and not feel tired. And it's probably going to have less effect on munchies, stuff like that, because it's going to have more sativa qualities and less indica qualities. That's going to be the only difference. Not one's going to work better than the other, and not one's going to be more expensive than the other. The only thing that Delta 10 hasn't done yet is being mass produced. Delta 10 does currently exist, and you can buy Delta 10 online now. So it is available. It's just not widely available yet.
Yeah, and from what I'd read on Delta 10, you know, there were certain opinions that if they ever streamline the process so it can be cost-effective and mass-produced, that it will actually replace Delta 9 in some respects, certainly in terms of the regulation, in terms of, you know, marijuana being banned in certain states, that if Delta 10 can be widespreadly legal throughout the entire United States, then it will actually end up being a replacement.
Only for tax purposes, right. Okay?
Yeah.
So nothing can ever truly replace Delta 9, right? If you have Delta 9 pure, it's always going to be way better than Delta 8, Delta 10. But with no regulation on taxes, and I mean, we're talking about a standard state tax versus a 40% tax that they put on on the herb. Like, that's, you know, that's crazy. Yeah. that they're allowed to do something like that. And it's all a Dieter, man. It's they don't want you to actually sell it, you know. They don't want it to actually work, but if it's going to work, then they want to be able to make a lot of money off of it, because no other business is taxed like that. So it's, I mean, they're just taking it, they're making it the minority of the products you can sell in the state. And so the only, if it does work, the only way it'd replace Delta 9 is if they never raise the tax on Delta 8 and Delta 10 products.
Now, if Delta 9 became legal tomorrow, would it cost you a lot more money to be able to get your skin in the game and actually be able to sell it? Because I remember when they were first giving out contracts in other states, it was like you have to put down $400,000 to even like apply for a license to be able to be a dispensary or something. I mean, is the cost going to be too high for most people to even be able to get in?
I haven't looked into it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and throw out numbers that I don't know. It wouldn't matter to me. I'm preparing to hopefully, you know, open a couple in Texas as soon as it becomes legal. For me, price wouldn't be a deter because, you know, it's a market that's never going to go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not, you still can't mail it, you know? It's one of the last products in this place that you can't be beat by online. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They can't just go to Amazon and look it up and buy it and have it same day shipping. Right. You know what I mean? So it's always going to be a product that's sought after. Because, I mean, there's not a failing dispensary, man.
Yeah.
Even with the 35-40% tax, people love buying from these places. They like buying real products. They like buying true products. They like buying regulated products because they know exactly what they're putting in their body. I mean, you get to see exactly what it is. You see what the chemicals they've used. You see the ingredients they have. You see the qualities they're going to hold. You know, they have everything you're looking for in the shops. When you buy it on the streets, you got a guy hands it to you in a bag, you give him some money, you have no clue what you're about to put, you know, right, put in your body, you know what I mean?
So we mentioned kratom earlier. I noticed in the store you didn't really have any kratom. Is that not really an area you're really interested in?
No, man, I love kratom, but yeah, kratom is very customer-based. If a customer asks for it, I would put kratom in the store.
Yeah.
If a customer doesn't ask for it, I'm not going to put kratom in the store.
Yeah. It's a rough taste, kratom. I mean, it's like eating, I don't know, if you empty out tea bags, which have gone off for a while, leave them outside, then kind of drink it, and it's like the worst taste ever, the worst aftertaste ever.
I'm sure he probably doesn't have curry in his shop either, because nobody likes curry. That's not except true. For you.
It's only you who don't like
curry. No. Right?
I love curry. If I just want to put that in there, it's one of my favorite things to eat.
No. See, I don't believe you. No. No one likes curry.
The most common way to drink kratom is that you don't make it in a tea. You just shove the powder in your mouth and you take a couple drinks of water.
Can I tell you why he has a bad experience with curry?
Why does he have a bad experience with curry?
When he was 18 months old, his mom could no longer produce breast milk, so she put some curry powder in with some milk and fed it to him, and he hasn't liked curry ever since. So,
yeah.
If you want a recommendation, by the way, Thai Hut over there on Basswood, and it's Western Center.
Okay.
And what is that other crossroad right there? Western Center, and it's right there by the Walmart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Western Center and Ray White.
Right. Yeah.
That's
I love a good curry. Right there. For some strange reason, on this podcast, we have an abnormal number of Indian followers. Probably we are one of the top 10 English speaking listened to podcasts in India, and we have no clue why. So now we try and give them a shout out every episode.
Yeah. Now I have to ask, Cameron, you've been sitting here being nice. Do you like curry?
I've never had it before.
Really? Yeah, don't try curry.
House, no?
Don't try curry.
I had it in my house. It's the thing Caitlin liked, the soup looking thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was good. I have had it.
Look, he hates it because it was
I thought I liked you, Cameron. Yeah. I don't like you now.
He hates it because it was a replacement for breast milk, but the rest of us like it.
Yeah, nobody likes curry.
Are there any other products out there which are coming out? Because obviously Delta 10, you know, has just come on the scene, coming in and, yeah, I've seen it online and stuff, but is there anything else there?
Honestly, man, I think Kratom is on the rise.
You think?
You know, Kratom's been out for a while, but I really do think Kratom's getting a lot more popular than it used to be. Because I do get asked at my other stores a lot about Kratom.
Yeah.
You know, and I at some point, I used to buy kilo bags for one of my stores. I had a customer buying a kilo every month of it. People just don't understand that Kratom does give you effects.
Yeah.
And once people start to understand that, I think that's why it's getting bigger and bigger, is just because people are starting to realize Kratom does affect you a little bit, and it's actually, you know, it's disgusting. Don't get me wrong, it is very nasty.
Yeah.
But it's similar to marijuana, you can't overdose on it, and it gets you feeling good. So it's supposed to be, technically, you know what Kratom is for, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an opioid replacement, right? It's supposed to take you off of opioids. But it has no addictive, technically no chemically addictive qualities.
Yeah.
You can't take Kratom and get addicted to Kratom like you would with nicotine, right? But yeah, I mean, you can get addicted to its feeling, but you can't get addicted to Kratom. So I think that might be an attraction for a lot of people, you know, that they can come in, it's actually really cool, man. They got ones that actually can increase your mood, like bring your serotonin up, and it makes you feel happy the whole day. And they got ones that, you know, they got downers, they got uppers, they got stimulants, they got all, it's crazy how many different types of Kratom you can make. And it's very similar to marijuana. It really is very similar to marijuana.
Yeah, I've had a decent experience with Kratom, and you know, I started taking it for painkilling properties because I played professional sports back in the day, and so I'd get, you know, inflammation, you know, in my knees, my ankles, and my back, and Kratom actually worked very well as a painkiller.
You were just trying to avoid the fact that you grew up in Britain,
and well, that was that painful. Anything?
No, that was
no,
painful.
It was painful, but that's mentally painful.
Yes.
No, this
so was, Kratom kind of took you through that because you're British and nobody likes British people.
Well, no, that's not true. No, it helped me. It helped me with the physical pain. It did actually. I mean, Kratom does have properties. It does reduce inflammation. People who suffer from, you know, advanced kind of like bone degeneration, arthritis have found a lot of help with Kratom. I mean, it is a great mood enhancer. Again, the biggest problem is it tastes freaking horrible, and the effects with it, you know, it doesn't have a long lasting effect. I always found it wore off after like a couple of hours, but it was definitely better than, you know, taking a painkiller, which, you know, didn't really work. And you build up such a tolerance to painkillers after a while that happens in your brain but not in your organs. So the more of those painkillers you start taking, it affects your organs and has a negative effect on your organs, but it's your brain deciding, all right, this is not having an effect on my body anymore. So people stack up painkillers and overdose on painkillers, whereas something like Kratom, you can take more and more of it. It's not addictive, and even if you eat, you know, a whole sack of it, you know, it's not really going to hurt you. But I mean, for me, I mean, it definitely helped when I was going through issues with like knees and back and stuff.
Fantastic thing about Kratom is it's also all natural, and it's a plant, and it's usually found in Malaysia.
Yeah. On the side of a hill, normally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is Malaysia in India?
No.
Oh.
Are you sure? Asian country?
It's in that direction, though.
Oh.
If you start traveling like east, you're going to get there eventually. You might have to waver a little bit north and south, but you'll find it.
It was on the news quite a bit a while ago, about 2014.
Yeah. Did they have dinosaurs there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. That's where the Jurassic Park of the Lost World was filmed.
Oh, yeah. With the redheaded girl.
Yeah. It almost became a documentary at that point.
Yeah. Oh, somebody's phone just went off.
Yeah, I don't have a question there, actually. I peaked too soon. That was it. I kind of went off on one after Jurassic Park, The Lost World. Let's go kind of into the summary here, and if you want to ask it. So, again, just talk a little bit about the store, like if you're intending to kind of like maybe branch to opening other stores. How people can get in touch with you, because you do have an email address if somebody wants to do a question. Because, I mean, you know, we've had some guests on before, and they will actually give out the personal email address or number if it's to do with the business or whatever, they want to get in touch with you, or I mean, you don't have to do that. I mean, they
No, I got a number. I'm fine providing my number, man. All right. It really doesn't bother me.
You need to spin this around better. Give me an edit point, and then ask.
Well, no, I just asked the last three questions, mate. You finish off for the end. Can you tell our listeners how they can get hold of you? Actually, give them the store address as well, because we didn't mention that. And we'll actually put your contact details and everything, you know, on our Facebook, on our website. So we connect our listeners with you. But just everybody who's listening out there, just let them know how they can get in touch.
So my email address, and I always look at this every single day, so I'll always see an email that comes in. It's going to be Z as in Zulu, O as in Oscar, .3@live.com. And that's my personal email, so I always look at it every single day. And then the address to my store is going to be 3604 Golden Triangle Boulevard, Fort Worth, Texas, 76244. And it's the one with the big sign that says the Cloud House on it. So,
yeah, well, Asmi and Cameron, thanks for joining us on this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. And we hope everybody reaches out to these guys, especially in North Texas, but even outside of North Texas. I'm pretty sure, you know, you can take care of those guys. And we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.